home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Oh yeah, football, football.
From potholes to pop-ups, we got it covered.
Hey, hey!
Here's Bob Fesco.
Take a bite out of my ass.
And Dusty Likens.
Big nuts.
Seven o'clock on a Friday. We're getting closer and closer to the weekend, fellas. In case you missed it last night, Royals win. Josh Rojas, he was the hero. He went 1-for-3 in AAA yesterday. Missed his flight to Minneapolis. Caught the second one. Arrived at Target Field around the eighth inning and knocked in the winning runs for the Royals in the ninth. He called the day adventurous.
So cool. I call it legendary. That's a day right there.
Just, you can't make that up. If they don't have the rain delay in Minneapolis, he doesn't make that play.
If the game's here with bad airline service, we don't get him here on time.
And I think the best part about it is they won 3 of 4, and they got to sweep Minnesota. And they're one game in front of it. Now they got 3 more. And, yeah, Josh Rojas, what a story yesterday as he hits the game-winning RBIs to pit the Royals up 8-6 and was playing AAA and caught a flight, missed one, caught a second one, had a rain delay, showed up in the eighth inning, kaboom. So props to that. But with Kansas City Chiefs and OTAs going on, there's been a lot of questions in this offense in the offseason. So draft, I think we can all agree, was heavy on defense. Well, first 4 picks were defensive players,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Woods, Delane,
Arthur Mason Thomas, yeah. Arkell Truluck, and yeah.
Yeah. And
Nixon 3.
The offseason with the free agent signings, you went and got Ken Walker, right? You added there, you re-signed Tyquan Thornton. He's going to be part of the team, hopefully more involved this year. He was the one guy that could really kind of catch the deep ball from Patrick Mahomes.
Any ball bit, really, last year.
Got rid of your coordinators, brought in Bienemy, brought in Marco Murray, brought in Chatty O'Shea, and kind of revamped everything because, as we had said, or I'll take credit for this because it's a tough one, but I, you know, Andy Reid got stale. He was doing the same stuff. But again,
yeah,
you can go back to the Fesco theory of, well, no one stopped it for 5 years. Why would you change?
Why would you change? You need. It's like anything in life, right?
Yeah.
No matter what you do, I look at it with my kids. You continue to push the envelope until somebody tells you no and you get stopped. And then you're like, okay, now we need to reset. It's human nature. And so if we were a year ago, right, in 2025, is anybody telling Andy Reid he needs to change his off? No, nobody's saying anything like that. You had 3 straight Super Bowl appearances. You keep doing you, Andy.
That is revisionist history. I was sitting on this radio station saying that. Yeah, that is not true. Many Chiefs fans were saying that.
And there were signs it was staling out, but you had a defense that would get you out of trouble, that wasn't giving up a lot of points, and then you had Patrick Mahomes, and you're like, the guy with the stick, go do something, Pat, we need you.
Mm-hmm.
No receivers, no development, horrible run game, and offensive line pieces that were shuffling all the time. So Derek of The Athletic had this to say about what he thinks the stale Chiefs
are. I'm going to now put at 11, and this feels crazy given how good they've been for a long time. I'm going to put the Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow.
This offense is still not very talented to me. We're at a point with Andy Reid where I don't think he's a negative for you, but I just don't feel like where he's at and where the NFL is at, that he is like an obvious plus for you in the way that he used to be.
I'm going to take the rest of the day off.
I still do not think this wide receiver core is any good, really, especially if we don't even know what we're going to get out of Rashee Rice this year. And then the tight end room, I can't believe they didn't add anyone. I can't believe it. We've been doing the Travis Kelce thing now for 2 or 3 years, and he's still a functional player. He's not terrible, but shocked that they added nothing there. And so this, to me, just feels like
a very incomplete
pass-catching group and a play caller that, again, I don't think he's making you actively worse, but it just feels like things have gotten a little bit stale there, and it doesn't feel like they're very additive at this point.
I mean, saying he's, you know, what did he say earlier? Andy Reid is one of the biggest positives in the NFL, bro. Like, seriously, look around at all these neophyte losers that are coaching and getting fired. How many teams have turned over coaches since Andy Reid has been here with the Chiefs? Almost all of them, I think, have turned over. How many have turned over multiple times, right, since Andy Reid has taken over as coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, right? Everyone in the division has turned over multiple times.
Well, what does that have to do with what he's saying?
What did he say, that Andy Reid isn't a positive?
Well, he's talking about the last couple of years. He's not talking about Andy Reid as a whole or not being one of the best coaches the league's ever seen. He's talking about right now, these last couple seasons.
Last couple seasons, 1 year. I just can't. I really can't. I'm not going down this road about Andy Reid being stale in these last couple of seasons. They went to 3 straight Super Bowls. it finally caught up to them. They took a break last year and went 6-11 and have reinvented themselves going forward into this season. Everything that we have complained about and talked about and bitched about, they've gone out there in some way or another attempted to fix it, right? People complained about Matt. He's gone now. They brought in Eric Bieniemy. He's yelling at everybody. We needed a legit wide receiver coach. They fired that guy who had no business coaching wide receivers, hired the most credible, believable, best wide receiver coach you could hire. Needed a new running back coach. They went out and got a guy that they believe can coach running backs. They went out and answered every question. Free agency, we screamed running back. They spent all of their free agent money on one guy, the best guy that was potentially available out there.
But I would ask you, why did they go do all that?
Well, because they needed to. Time, because they went 6-11 last year, and they're not going to go 6-11 this year, and they're not going to waste Patrick Mahomes. It eventually all caught up to them. But when you're in the midst of things, just like anything in life, when things are rolling, you don't look at the little things. You really don't. And maybe it's a life lesson. We should all be looking at those little things, but you get so caught up in everything that is going on and all the successes that you're having. And then when you're playing all the way to the Super Bowl, guys, you can say whatever you want. Time becomes scarce and you don't have as much time to self-scout and really look at everything that's going on inside your organization. Because you're going to the Super Bowl, you're waking up the next day, you've got the parade. By the time all that's done, you're off to the combine. And then it's June, and then you're in OTAs and mini camp and all that kind of stuff. And so going 6-11 last year for all the people who wanted major change on this roster, that was the best thing for the Chiefs to do because they were able to kind of hit that reset button. But when you're caught up in it and you're going to the Super Bowl and you're winning, nobody's making changes. Just like in life, like if you're a salesperson and everything's going great and you're just sale after sale after sale after sale, what are you going to do? You probably slack a little bit. You're probably not going to look at everything as well as you probably did when you weren't making those sales. This thing was a well-oiled machine, and then it stopped being a well-oiled machine. Took that year off, and now we're back. And now I believe it is going to be a well-oiled machine because these people in that organization have done it, have proved it, have showed it, have lived it, have won it, have done everything. And so that's why, for people that want to talk smack on Andy Reid, I just don't have the patience for that anymore. I'm 50 freaking years old, and I have people coming into my kitchen and talking on Andy Reid.
Yeah, I think that you can have a stale bag of chips and still eat it. But they
changed all that. They threw the stale bag away, and they attempted to bring in new, right? Like, you can't criticize what they've done this offseason. If you want to say maybe a wide receiver, but who knows what the kid in the fourth or fifth round is going to do.
It is true. They didn't go get a tight end. We know this is the last year for Travis Kelce. The wide receiver room is still very weak. Yes, they went and got a running back and a good one at that, the number one running back free agent. But, like,
you also can't fix everything in one offseason.
No, but I mean, that's the problem. You shouldn't be doing that. You should be doing it over time. Like, you should be able to go to, like, you know, you should be able to go places in the season and see. I mean, Brett Veach does it. He drafts a cornerback, and then 2 years later, he doesn't pay the guy that's in front of him, and he planned ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy Reid, 1,000% in that offense, has been stale since 23.
And they have tried with the tight ends. Maybe they haven't worked out. They've drafted Wiley. They drafted that other guy. You know, they had two guys in there. They've tried at the tight end position. But again, this is supposed to be year one of two of getting back to where they are. Remember, when the season ended, I said, don't have high expectations for this year. 9-7 type of team, you know, maybe 10-11 wins.
So you're saying it's okay to miss the playoffs?
No. I don't think they're going to miss the playoffs this year. I'm talking like division championship, Super Bowl, all that kind of stuff. I think they're back in the playoffs this year. I don't know if they're quite ready to be that Super Bowl team yet, but they're definitely back in the playoffs this year. And then you take this season and you build on what you did this offseason, next offseason, and then you're ready to go. It's tough to flip it and fix all these positions that everybody believes they needed help in one offseason. But I think what they've done is a hell of a job. They've improved so much in this organization. They got rid of every coach that nobody liked from a fan standpoint. They upgraded the position that we wanted them to upgrade the most. And they believe that they do have that talent in there at the wide receiver position. They showed us that. They showed us that by hiring a coach that they believe in that talent in the wide receiver position. And I kind of believe in it too. I'm anxious to see, as I've said for months now, with a new legitimate wide receiver coach about what they can do inside that offense. And so, I mean, I think they've had a great offseason, and I just get so over the fact of people complaining about the staleness of a team that went to 3 straight Super Bowls, had one bad year. Now, if it continues and we see a pattern and it doesn't get better, then it's a fair conversation to have.
Yeah, I think there's two different conversations going on here, because you can talk about Andy Reid growing stale and question that and be totally justified in that, and also say the offseason here was really productive and they fixed a lot of the things they could fix. And because of the hole they dug themselves in, if you want to argue whether that's Veach or Reid or a combination of both, and they did dig themselves a hole these last three seasons, there was probably no way to fix everything
that's
in one year.
I agree with you.
Yeah, it's probably a two-year thing. I get that. That's one conversation. The other conversation is Andy Reid growing stale. We've talked about it. I've talked about it for a long time. Nate Taylor wrote an article about it that we discussed here recently about Andy Reid and the Chiefs are trying to defy history. Oldest coach to win a Super Bowl would be Andy Reid at this point. This doesn't happen. We don't see coaches at this age able to innovate.
But
and we
Andy
haven't seen
Reid
well,
has been...
And we haven't seen in these last two or three seasons able to innovate offensively. This team has not been up to par, not been up to snuff, been below average in most categories that we need to see be better for multiple seasons, have not improved the same things about this offense. That's on Andy Reid. So to ask if the oldest coach in NFL history to win a Super Bowl is going to be able to innovate, and that's justified in my opinion.
I disagree, because if you look at Andy Reid's history, he's one of the great innovators of all time. And that's where I go back to. I mean, this is why you have
but
to
he's
study.
68. Yeah,
I don't
whatever.
Care. It doesn't matter. Age doesn't really matter anymore. My friend Jim's 75 years old. He'll come in here and do jujitsu at all of us and drop us all for
that's
dead.
That's not the
you
same.
You know, but yeah, you know, that's
not he's not getting up at 4 a.m. Yeah. going to one Arrowhead Drive, trying to put plays together, running NFL season, doing all that.
Yeah, so Pete Carroll could come in here and kick my ass.
Okay,
he's not a good NFL coach anymore.
But yeah, ran out of Vegas.
But it doesn't mean that Andy Reid isn't. I mean, you guys are reacting on 1-6-11 season.
I disagree.
I'm not reacting on 6-11. I said back since 2023, this offense has been stale.
Yeah, but they've also won. And at the end of the day, the results are what matters, not the flavor of the offense, not the staleness of the chips. Did you win the games? And they were doing that up until last year. And so they had a pause. And you have to give them the benefit of the doubt. It's not like they're retaining all these coaches that everybody wants fired, right? You're not bringing back the pitching coach, the hitting coach, the bullpen coach. They got rid of. They made changes. They moved forward. They weren't stale. They had those chips that were stale, and they went, who brought great value chips? Threw them away, and now you bring in the Ruffles. Now you bring in all of that kind of stuff. And I think they are going to be great. Andy Reid has been innovating forever and a day, and that's why I really do get pissed off. That's an ageist comment there. He's 68 years old. So what if he's 68 years old? It's not 68 in the 1920s anymore, where that is ancient. 68 is not that old anymore, and every step of the way, Andy Reid brought the pistol formation to the NFL because he said, damn, all these college kids are going in pistol. I'm not putting my quarterback under center. Why should I make them learn something that they haven't done for the last 4 years? The first hire he made when he came to Kansas City was that Chris Ault guy. Binkley will tell you all about him. He was the father of the shotgun and the pistol offense, and he worked great with Alex. So he brought him in here to Kansas City. The first phone call this guy made when they drafted Patrick Mahomes was his coach in college, Cliff Kingsbury. What can I do as a head coach to get the best out of Patrick Mahomes? It's like, but again, Andy Reid has innovated his entire career.
No one would disagree with that.
Yeah, that was all 10 years ago.
Yeah.
What's he done in the last four?
Went to three Super Bowls. And that's all I care about.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Well, coming up on the other side, we'll get into what is Saturday, which is cranking that hog in Lawrence, Kansas, as they take on the Sooners. We talk about it and go back to some cuts from their pitching coach that he was on with us here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty, analytically the best morning radio show in Kansas City, as voted by people.
There's a lot of people talking out of their butt.
Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. 96.5 The Fan.
Saturday, boys?
Men's wieners.
I know that I'm hard.
You better believe it. KU, Oklahoma, game one of a three-game series, if necessary. They'll play Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, as we had Brandon Scott on earlier.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing at Channel 4. Happening today in Lawrence. KU baseball, open practice. Wear KU colors. Oh, thanks.
Open practice.
I think really, kinda... I was going to go.
Oh, man, I was going to wear my Boomer Sooner gear to the KU Open practice today.
Mister, you can take that Boomer Sooner shirt and get the hell out of here.
Thanks, local news, for letting us know. If you're going to the KU Open practice today, make sure you wear KU colors.
Right. And this is how Oklahoma got there.
There's Taki's mom. She has been living and dying on every pitch. Taki in the air to center. Burris going back. Going back. That ball is gone! It's gone! Dayton Taki sends Oklahoma to Super Regionals!
KU plays Oklahoma coming off that walk-off win against Georgia Tech. That's why Oklahoma is in Lawrence, because if Oklahoma lost, KU would be playing in Georgia Tech Stadium.
Right.
Instead, they're going to play at Hoglin Park in Lawrence, which is obviously why everybody says crank the hog.
Yeah.
But this is really big for Kansas, in my opinion, because it doesn't take a village idiot to know that KU is consistently known as KU basketball.
That's right.
Right? And
it's nice to have another sport stepping up, you know?
You're kind of putting basketball on the back burner here.
Well, like, you have to right now.
You're not talking about the recruits that are coming in. What the, like, you think about when we talk about when the Royals have their success in the regular season, right? It's like, we're not talking about Mahomes' knee. We're not talking about, you know, all this stuff. We're talking about what the next series is and all that. And it's putting the Chiefs, who are always talked about in this town, on the back burner. The Royals get the, and this is kind of where I'm looking at with KU baseball. It's always Bill Self's recruiting class. Mm-hmm. It's always who's going to play it late night at the Fog if they still do that. It's always, oh yeah, the regular season. Now, everyone's excited for baseball because they're going to have a chance to go to Omaha. And then at that point, let's have a day. It's the College World Series. And they play today, or they play Saturday. Tickets, I think, go on sale today.
Today, 10 a.m. Yeah. So people are already bitching about that. That's just life, right? I mean, you're already complaining about something you don't know about, right? That's what we do.
And I think if you kind of give a parallel to the Royals, right, like you're going to have people that are like, well, KU's kind of helped me out. Now the Royals have won 3 of 4. They won the series against Cincinnati. They won game one so far, a 4-game series against the Twins. Like, don't. And I think that this is something that gets baseball, which is such a great sport, something to kind of root for. Now, I know there's Missouri fans out there. They'll be like, eh, whatever. I can't talk to you.
Oh, they'll be rooting against Kansas, though.
That's fine. But, I mean, like, you got a lot of local Kansas ties. You're an alum. Gold's an alum. Rob Brenton's an alum. I don't really have an affiliate. I'm a Mules guy. They've done their job already in the D2 World Series. But, like, this is something that's cool to me because you don't see it all the time.
Yeah, and absolutely. That's why it is cool.
To watch their fans have this fun and that it's actually going to be played in your own ballpark in the summer. I mean, Lawrence is a fun town to visit. I've done it a couple of times, stayed in Airbnb, went down to Mash Street and all that sort of stuff. And, like, this to me would be a fun weekend in the middle of summer if you wanted to go check out the Jayhawks and play the Sooners and chance to go to
Omaha. If you want to go, go. It's going to be an outstanding opportunity for you to see some fun baseball. There's nothing worse than being bad and being boring, and the Kansas Jayhawk baseball team is everything but that, right? They're great and they're entertaining. And so if you want to go see something great this weekend from a baseball perspective, a sports perspective, yeah, you roll over to Lawrence, Kansas, because who knows if this is going to ever happen again, right? With basketball, you can always say, we'll be there next year, right? You don't know if this baseball team is going to be there next year. We don't even know if this coach is going to be around next year because of how much success he's having. Mac, there's got to be some SEC school that's got oodles of cash that they're going to, like, South Carolina, I think, has been sniffing around. I don't know if they've hired a coach. I don't follow it that closely. But you got to think there's going to be somebody out there that's going to roll out the Brinks truck for this guy in Lawrence to go coach their university. And so we'll see how that all plays out. But that's something you don't want to talk about till it's all said and done. And you just enjoy this ride. And These rides, you know, when you're not expecting it, they're always the best. They really are. They're so much fun because it just came out of nowhere. And all of a sudden you looked up and you went, damn, the KU baseball team is playing really good right now. They're having fun doing it. They're beating opponents. They're destroying opponents. And now here they are, 2 wins away from going to Omaha in the College World Series. It's really a great time for KU.
Crank the hog, man. Crank it up.
Yeah.
That's not Jay Binkley. That is Brandon Scott. And then you asked him about, like, how maybe, like, NIL is an effect for, you know, even baseball.
You know, obviously it's been a factor. You know, I think if we sat down and really showed you our roster, you'd look at it probably a little bit different. You know, we're not at the upper echelon when it comes to that NIL for baseball. We've got just a bunch of blue-collar, hardworking kids, to be quite honest with you, you know. And, you know, we're able to take care of some of our guys, but, you know, we've got a lot of guys who are having success that aren't getting NIL, you know. So definitely doable, but it's a factor for sure.
So KU
gonna be a factor. Interesting to see how many teams now offer their players a lot of money to go somewhere else too. That's the other thing you got to worry about.
And that's what it sounds like, is that, you know, they put together a bunch of, you know, local kids and a bunch of, you know, blue collar guys, what he said, and it's worked for them. And then when you get to Omaha, you'll start seeing the teams that, you know, went the opposite route. And that's why another reason why, if you are anti-NIL, or maybe you're on the same page as Nick Saban and really mad
Nick
about
Saban
it.
Should shut the F up. Okay. You are making $15 million a year, hypocrite. Okay. Seriously, shut up, Nick Saban. That's exactly why we have the NIL. Because of guys like him that are trying to keep all the money for themselves. Up yours, pal. Like, you're sitting there legitimately telling people the kids should not make money when you were cashing $15 million a year checks.
And paying kids.
And paying kids.
And paying them.
Illegally. Like, let's talk to Nick Saban about how we think college sports should be.
Tell me how it works.
Okay.
Kiss my
Who
ass.
Who are you going to get next? John Gotti to tell us how the world should be run?
Also, like, he only lets you shower for 5 minutes. It's not a spa.
It's not a spa. Like, of all people. What do you think, Nick? Well, I mean, I don't think we should be paying these kids. Sir, you were making $15 million a year. Exactly. It's for me, not for them. I mean, do these people not see this?
And he left. He's the one who left.
And he left because he didn't want to pay the players and didn't want to be on the even playing field. Yes, you're exactly right,
so
Mac.
Shut up.
He left. He didn't want to deal with it. So move on.
So move on.
But don't sit there and say the players don't need to get paid when you're rolling in $15 million a year. You have a lake house. You have a boat. You have everything you could possibly want. You're living the hog. And you're going to be out there and say the kids don't deserve to get paid. Yeah, I just rolled my eyes hard at that. I'm like, this guy doesn't even need the attention of getting ripped for saying something so ridiculously stupid.
I didn't say Andy Reid was stale, Bob. I just said Nick Saban.
That too.
Oh, that's great. That but it is cool to see this on the text line, though, because somebody says, where'd it go? Come on. It says, as a Mizzou fan, I think it's freaking cool for KU to host a Super, rooting for KU. If KU wins it all, a local team will win on all levels of college baseball. Yeah, you'd have UCM, and you'd have Johnson County Community College, and you'd have KU.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
That's crazy.
But Kansas City is the America of baseball.
It really is, but I'll be honest with you, that guy on the text line, can't do you, man. Can't do it. Can't do it. You can't root for Kansas if you're a Missouri fan.
Yeah.
You just can't. I'll never root for Missouri.
You trying to tell me Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball?
That's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to tell you a Missouri fan can't root for Kansas, and a Kansas fan can't root for Missouri. It's the rules.
I totally get that. I will say the one thing is...
It's not a rivalry anymore? Is that where you're going to go?
Well, that's definitely part of it.
And that guy might be a Mizzou fan since he might only be like 20
years
old.
He may be 10 years old. Yeah, has no idea.
He doesn't know what the war is.
When something's really good happening in Missouri, doesn't really affect Kansas City as much because it's Columbia. When something's happening really good in Lawrence, it affects the vibe and the atmosphere of the town. It's fun to have this team doing really well just as a person living here.
Yeah.
So I could see him from that perspective.
Yeah, but you're not rooting for Alabama, are you?
That's fair. Exactly.
Yeah, it'd be more so like Vanderbilt. You wouldn't vote for... You wouldn't be like, all right, Vandy's in the World Series. But like,
nope.
KU's like not normally good at baseball.
That's true. F Andy.
And it's not really the rivalry that we all know what it is. It's basketball and football is the rivalry that builds the border war. It's not like, baseball.
Even the great baseball schools aren't forming their rivalries based on
that. I will say this. They have to have Danny Manning throw out the first pitch either tonight or tomorrow. One of the games. He's got to do it. And what we also have to do is one word with Matt.
Tomorrow or Sunday?
Yeah, tomorrow or Sunday.
One Saturday word.
Sunday. First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Kenny Holmes.
No.
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
One, two, three.
Oatmeal raisin.
Text line says that Carrington Harrison is rooting for KU. His words, not mine.
No, because he's a Jayhawk fan.
Hot dot.
I mean, that right there.
Hot dog.
If he is your Missouri Messiah, he can't be anymore.
Yeah, come on.
He can't. I'll never root for Missouri. I don't care who they're playing. They could be playing Iceland, and I'll be in the front row going, go Iceland!
Did he give his reason for rooting for KU, anyone? Please,
yeah, because he's trying to, when they lose,
I could also see it be like, I want to be there. I want Rob to enjoy this. Because our boy Rob Breton out of the office today looking for a new casa.
That's right.
With his wifey. Ooh. So that's kind of cool news.
Trying to get him to move next to us.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
It is One Word time. It is brought to you by the Sand Trap on a Friday. It's a great spot. Delicious food, cold drinks, TVs galore. Watch your favorite sports teams. Royals game two tonight, a before game series against the Twins. NBA Finals game two tonight. Spurs and Thunder. And then Saturday, Maloney's going to have TVs on at all his locations, but especially the Sand Trap. And today, Friday, at the Sand Trap, $13 Smashburger Taco,
nice.
$16 10-ounce steak, baked potato and green beans, $7 Smash. Vodka Red Bulls, and $2 off glasses of wine. Woo. Get you a nice glass of red with $2 off and get you that 10-ounce steak and all at the Sand Trap today.
If you can't decide red or white, get a nice rosé like a friend of mine did last night. It was delicious.
You should never drink white wine with a steak.
You can drink whatever you want now, I think. here's what I'm going to say, one word for you. When the Chiefs and Royals were doing their thing, crime was at an all-time low in Kansas City, right? New York City crime has hit a new historic low in 2026. Wow. Fewest murders and shootings in the first 5 months of the year. Knicks fever, baby. One word on sports stopping crime.
Unification.
Everybody's watching the game.
Yes.
It's true. Like, crime, you study it, and the cops will tell you. I know we got cops listening. They can text in and tell us. When the Royals and Chiefs are doing their thing and have their run, crime is way down because everybody's watching the game.
People happy. People are watching the game. Yeah, 100%. You feel closer. How about this? We needed this. A feel-good Royals story, baby. Heck yeah, and I ain't kidding. This
Josh
is real.
Rojas, baby.
Not only was it the win, but you heard it. Josh Rojas, he went 1-for-3 in AAA. You heard that right. He missed his first flight to Minneapolis. He caught the second one, arrived at Target Field around the eighth inning, and knocked in the winning run for the Royals, winning runs for the Royals in the top of the ninth inning. One word, and here you go on the base. Here it is.
Here's the pitch. Rojas grounds it back up the middle, a base hit into center field. Tolbert scores. Thomas rounds third. He slides in safely. Josh Rojas in his Royals debut with his second swing as a Royal delivers a go-ahead two-run single. The Royals lead 8-6 in the top of the ninth inning.
One word on the win in Rojas.
Neat. That's a neat story, man. Really is. I love the fact that he couldn't get there. He finally gets there. It's just like that stuff doesn't happen ever. It does. I mean, we've seen it before in baseball where a guy shows up late, mm-hmm. but missing flights, getting hits at a minor league game, then playing in a major league game. It's a neat story.
I'll take the word he used, adventurous. Call me crazy because I know that I am. These are the types of things that can wake people up. It's not the walk-off grand slam. It's not the towering home run in the top of the ninth. It's a story like this, and they've won 3 of 4. They're playing a really bad Minnesota team. They're not great themselves, but stuff like this can really, like, spark something within those four walls of that team. So, like, I'm excited for that. That was an adventurous day for that kid.
More news in Major League Baseball. Aaron Judge diagnosed with a stress fracture.
Rib cage.
On the rib, yeah. He'll be re-imaged in approximately 4 to 6 weeks. Quote, Judge expected to return at some point this season. One word.
Bad, because when he's healthy, the Yankees are 130 games over 500. When he's not playing, they're 8 games under 500. That's the definition of an MVP right there.
I'll give you my one word, and there's two of them. Good. Because this is Kansas City, and good because Bobby.
Yes.
You know who the favorite is in the American League to win the MVP? You're damn freaking right. It's Bobby Witt Jr. at plus 140.
It's amazing.
He is now the favorite to win the MVP. Aaron Judge and his ass can sit back and watch the real best player in the American League go out there and do something special. So, good, and Bobby, because now Aaron Judge will be back for the playoffs, which is his prime time. Which doesn't matter, New York. They're not mad about it. They got the Knicks doing everything they want right now. So go get it, Bobby. Time's yours.
You mentioned it. Knicks, Spurs, game 2 tonight in San Antonio. Knicks lead 1-0. One word.
Epic. Mm-hmm. Epic game 2. Let's go. Finish this thing off in San Antonio. Take 2. Go back to New York up 2-0. And then Monday will be absolutely insane. I mean, absolutely nuts. You can't even describe what that place is going to be like, regardless if they split or if they go up 2-0. Madison Square Garden is going to be epic, but San Antonio's got to figure out how to play in the fourth quarter. It's not a three-quarter game. Then the Knicks play in the fourth quarter better than anybody we've seen in a long time.
Man, it's really out of topic, but our TVs are on. That's cool. You guys are getting a new farmer's market.
Yeah, it opens finally. It's been under construction for a while.
Yes.
I'm not going anywhere near it tomorrow, I'll tell you that.
No.
Yeah, maybe wait a week or two.
Week or two.
Yeah, farmer's market's bang, dude.
I'm right next to it. Yeah, I'm excited.
My one word on game two tonight, excited, hard, ready. I just,
This is gonna be awesome again. Again, last game, fast pace. Fourth quarter started 76-76, and Jalen Brunson took over. So another one word you could say is Wimby. Who are you going to be tonight, man? Mm-hmm. What are you going to show us? And can the Spurs stop Mr. Brunson in the fourth quarter?
Game two in the NBA tonight. Game two in NHL Stanley Cup Finals last night. An overtime win for the Hurricanes against the Golden Knights. 4-3, one word, series tied 1-1.
Exhausting. I mean, that overtime game, man, that is exhausting. Thank God they get a couple of days now to travel back and get a little bit of a rest. But from a sports fan standpoint, outstanding. From a player standpoint, exhausting. I mean, they gave everything they had. Three goals in the final period. Then you see Vegas tie it with like 2 minutes to go to force overtime. Big time win for Carolina last night. They needed that one too.
Yeah, my one word is Jarvis. Isn't that the name of the baby? And I think you should leave. Screw you, baby Jarvis.
Yeah.
Big baby Jarvis. Seth Jarvis hit that game-winning goal in the overtime. For the Hurricanes of Carolina, that was a fun game. Beakley's one word would be weather.
Yeah.
He's still texting about it.
Both those game twos. How about right here, local game one, KC Mavs tonight for the Kelly Cup. Go Mavs. One word.
Win. Go get it.
Cowbell.
That damn
one
right.
Word? Cowbell, one word?
Yeah, hyphen.
Okay. Yeah, ring those damn bells. Crank the bell. Crank the cow. I don't know if that works, but... Go Mavs, man. Go get the Kelly Cup. Bring it back to the Dahmer Center. Cable Dahmer Center, I think is what it's called.
Dahmer. I don't know that we would go with the Dahmer Center. Yeah. That's where you go to eat bodies. It's Cable Dahmer. You want to call Dahmer. It the Dahmer Center.
Dahmer, party of seven.
No, that was the Donner Party, and then Jeffrey Dahmer, and then we have Cable Dahmer Arena.
Go Mavs.
Virginia Tech, a four-generation Hokie family has made a record-setting $75 million donation, one word.
So?
$75
million? $75 million to Virginia Tech? Virginia Tech?
I'll take $2 million.
I'll take 75 bucks. Yeah.
That's crazy. That's my one word. That's just, I mean, Missouri got the $60 million donation.
Right, and then these universities go, okay, that's great. We still need more.
Yeah, they burn through that in 5 seconds.
Yeah, like, okay, great. Yeah. $75 million to a university, you might as well flush it. People don't know how to spend money.
We got a quarterback, a wide receiver, and a coach.
Yeah, for this year. Yeah. For this, we're going to need that $75 million next year, and then the following year, and then the following year, and then the following year after mm-hmm. that. You good with that?
No.
Yeah, no.
Last one, we got to talk to him at the Super Bowl a couple years ago. Remember the U.S. flag football quarterback, Daryl Hoosh Doucette III. This is what he said about RG3 trying out for the U.S. flag football team. RG3 just tried out. Yeah, you're RG3. Heisman Trophy winner and all that, but out here, you're Robert.
Truth. I love that. That's absolutely the best way to put it, man. You're trying to come into my sport, mm-hmm. which is not the same as yours. And I've practiced this. I've worked at this my whole life. And you're going to try to come in here and be RG3? Yeah, forget about it, man. This is my sport. I love that guy. That kid's awesome.
Kid is awesome.
My one word would be Kendrick. Sit down.
Yeah, be humble.
Like, you don't need to be in this league. You can't even get into the NFL
what
these days.
Doing, RG?
And you still think you can. Sit down. Be humble. We don't need to see Robert.
Robert, I love that. You're just Robert out here.
Awesome. Love it, Daryl.
How did Robert respond to that?
And we'll see today.
To be determined.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be a big screaming match on ESPN about it or something, right?
Yeah. That is one word brought to you by the Sand Trap. It's a great spot with delicious food, cold drinks, TVs galore to watch all your favorite sports teams. It's located at the northeast corner of Blue Ridge and Holmes in South KC. Today on a Friday, $13 Smashburger tacos, $16 10-ounce steak, baked potato and green beans, $7 vodka and Red Bulls, $2 off glass of wine, and they will have your KU Jayhawks. If you are a fan that want to watch them on Saturday at 5 o'clock on ESPN2, you can check that out there as well, as that was one word on a Friday. Coming up next, we get into the sports admission. I'm kind of into this. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Carter Jensen, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty, weekday morning starting at 6, right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. 96.5 The Fan.
Wrapping up a seven-hour
7 a.m. block here on a Friday on 96.5 The Fan. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens with you. Were you being serious? I have to ask. It's been on my mind about Daimler.
Cable Daimler Arena.
It's Daimler. There's no L.
There's no L in that?
No.
I thought it was Cable Daimler.
You, sir, get the L.
Oh.
No, yeah, Cable Daimler Arena. That's why I was like, Jeffrey Daimler? No, it's, yeah.
Oh, I thought there was definitely an L in that. My bad.
No, you're good. I just was like, I saw the text line, and then I was thinking to myself, I'm like, it's not Daimler.
I thought it was Cable Daimler. I honestly did for my whole life. I did.
T-I-L, but there is no L. This is hilarious. I don't know if it's true, but it's from a golf content that I follow.
And this probably
guy,
false.
Yeah, this guy got it's a message from a date. Says, thanks for dinner last night. I think I'll pass on a second date, though. All you did was talk about how much better your golf round could have been if you didn't have so many lost balls because of your driver shaft being too stiff. It was just really weird. He just responded and said, it's not stiff enough, but whatever. That is me in a nutshell. How was your day? It's great. Should have shot 86, but, you know, just lost the ball on 8, missed a putt on 6. What are we talking about? The Chicago mayor admits he left Bears and Packers early to beat traffic.
That's right.
Now, if you missed how this game went, the Caleb Williams throw,
right?
That we're all like, all right, like we do it all the time. Like that was a Mahomes magic type of moment for a guy that had a lot of comparisons to Mahomes, even when he was in college at OU and USC eventually. He just kind of made those plays. Like you couldn't really explain it. Now he's on the cover of Madden. Kind of
he got the jinx.
Kind of implicating the, you know, the Michael Jordan thing.
Yeah.
Often implicated, never duplicated. But it's
why they did that to him, man. Like, don't do jump man in Chicago. Come on.
Go show out. He'll be an MVP favorite for a lot of bettors out there, for future bettors as well. By the way, Bobby Witt Jr., your favorite in the AL for MVP at +140 as of June 5th, 2026. But it is interesting. Like, these stories always happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we remember, what was it? It was the Rob, I think it's Rob Rinson, the guy that left the AFC divisional game against the Texans, and then Carrington made a bit about, like, you can't let this guy in the stadium the rest of the time. He must stay home.
Or all you those left. People in Miami who tried to get back into the arena. I don't even remember what that game was about, but you remember everybody left, and then everybody tried to get back in.
Ray Allen
arena.
Hit the shot, and everybody tried to get back in. They're like, nah, man, doors are locked.
Doors are locked. You can't, there's no reentry, you know? Unless you go to the smoking corral.
But yeah, they...
That's how you sneak into an arena, just hop the fence at the smoking corral, walk right in. They don't know. Wow. We used to do it in Kemper Arena all the time.
But this is his explanation.
Getting in and out of Soldier Field is an absolute nightmare. Let me tell you how bad it is. Bears versus Packers. I'm at the game. We're losing. I decide to leave to beat the traffic. Before I get out of the footprint, the Bears had come back to win. The ingress, egress part, that's what we have to fix.
Don't admit that, though.
Yeah, don't say that. Exactly. Yeah, don't say that.
Just say the ingress egress part's really bad.
Yeah, right. This is what's going on. The ingress egress. We've all sat in that traffic before.
Exactly.
Whether you leave early or whether you stay to the end, there's always traffic. We got to do a better job fixing that. You outwardly admitted you left one of the best comebacks ever. And as the mayor of that town, let me ask you this though: don't you have a police escort? It is Chicago. I mean, good Lord. You would imagine the mayor has
mayor?
A police escort.
So true.
You know, like you're not going in the way the rest of us are going in. You get security, you get detail, you get a police escort of that. You're not leaving early if you're the mayor. Mayor L ain't leaving early. He'll tell you that right now.
Someone says his reelection chances are now zero. So let's kind of contradict ourselves. What is something that you gave up on or that you missed due to something?
Well, when the Chiefs went down 24-0 to the Texans, I decided that was the right time to go take a dump. And so I just made myself at home in the media bathroom for a while, reading. I hear a little loud noise out there. I come back, it's like 24-14 or something. Like,
oh, my God.
The hell did I miss?
Come out with like a That's comes crazy. Out with like tissue on his shoe and like the toilet ring on his ass.
Yeah.
Something happened.
Sorry.
I was like, oh, okay. I must have missed something.
Comes out, crapper's full.
I'll never forget. I'm sitting there at that point, you're down 24-0, right? They hadn't come back from anything yet. We hadn't done this. You're down 24-0. We're all thinking the same thing. Son of a bitch, it's the same thing all over.
We're cursed.
You know? So I took a dump. Kill me. And that was before dude wipes.
And we scored 14 in like no time.
That's
so.
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's like when I went and got a Surfside at Yankee Stadium. It was 3-1. I came back. There were three home runs. I went, what happened? Bob goes, sit down.
You missed a lot.
I think my one thing that I admit, because obviously I wear my Royals heart on my sleeve, was when Ventura gave the home run to Moss. I was done. I couldn't take it. Mm. They had gotten there. They're in a wild card situation. They made the playoffs. I went to my room, and it went black. I pulled the curtains, the light-canceling curtains. I didn't even have the TV on. I didn't have any sound. I just laid there, and 10 minutes later, you might want to come back out here. No, leave me alone. It's like a one-run game now. I was like, okay. And then us three roommates went out there, arms crossed, watched it. Next thing you know, we're all just – and just – freak zone. Like, I mean, it was going running outside.
Yes.
We're banging the windows. We're hitting the same, going to the playoffs. And then that magical run in 14 would conclude with that. That's why I paid the money to go see him take out
Absolutely.
Baltimore.
Yeah.
Plus you had Showalter.
Hell, you didn't know there'd ever be another time. You know?
And seeing that home run off Ventura, I probably called Ned every name in the book.
We all did. You should have seen the press box. I'll never forget that night. I mean, we had three different shows prepared.
I mean, F. Why? He's not a bullpen arm, Ned. And then next thing you know, it's just crazy.
But I mean, in all seriousness with that, they had such forward thinking on that coaching staff, though. They knew exactly what they were going to do. They knew Shields could only go five that day.
Yeah.
And they knew what they were going to do 7, 8, 9. All right, what the hell are we going to do with the sixth inning? And they had that planned out. That was part of the plan all along. Was it the best plan? Obviously, we saw the results. It didn't work in that moment. But it was a plan, and that's what they decided that they were going to do. I wish James Shields could have pitched a little bit longer in that game, but who the hell knows if we would have had the moments of the wild card if James Shields went any longer than five innings.
The 785 says, I left the 13-second game. My wife was hammered, and I couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah. So you left with 13 seconds to go? Or how? When did you leave that game?
When did you leave?
Yeah.
I also left opening day when Beltran. Yeah. I left that one. I was 16, driven to Kauffman Stadium before. And it was 7-3.
My wife left the wild card game or in the eighth inning. The kids were 2 and 3 at the time. She's sitting with them in the upper deck. It was the eighth inning. They're like, 2 and 3 is all got to go. It makes sense.
Yep. Yeah, I was in the bathroom during that Tyreek Hail Mary at the end of the first half against Dallas at Jerry World.
Hail Mary?
Yeah, the Hail Mary. I was in the bathroom for that. Came out, and brother and mom were like, did you see that? I was like, yeah, for sure. That was awesome.
But at least you could get a replay.
Get a replay.
That was so funny. They put that super, super prevent defense on, and Alex Smith's like, check it real
let's
quick.
Go.
10, yes. slant, yeah, and go. Then go do your crazy stuff.
And great blocking. And just, yeah.
Yeah, that was Speed. A wild play.
That was a great play.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
913, I went to bed at halftime during KU's last national championship game.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That hurts.
I wonder how many people gave up on the Memphis national championship game.
Oh, yeah.
A lot, I'm sure.
I bet a lot.
Yeah. Not watching this damn stuff again.
You can't give up anymore, guys. Think about it. I mean, look at what the Knicks are doing, right? If you went to bed last night or 2 nights ago when they were down 14, you missed it. Like, leads aren't safe in sports anymore. It's amazing how quickly we can score in sports. And I'm talking all sports, how fast it had. Look at hockey last night. 3 goals in the final period, 1 with a minute and a half to go. NBA's erasing, 14, 18-point deficits like it's nothing. Baseball, nobody has a bullpen. So everybody's out there just scoring late in baseball games. Like, it's crazy. You can't go to bed early in big game situations because they're never over.
Comes from 816. I left the Chiefs-Steelers playoff game early when Joe Montana was the quarterback. My wife and I were walking down the spiral staircase just about to go out the gates when they heard the roar of the crowd. We just kept walking like a couple of idiots. We missed the comeback.
Why didn't you go back in? You were not out of the stadium yet.
It's tough. Couldn't do it. That's tough, man. Mark Wahlberg famously left the Super Bowl when the Pats were down 28-3.
Damn. Oh, wow. Did he really?
Come on, Dirk Diggler.
Oh, that's trash.
Is that real? Did he? I haven't heard that story either. Oh, man.
I hope he didn't go to the afters or anything with those guys. You left, man.
Yeah,
sorry.
No, you're out.
You can't go.
Yeah, you didn't support us.
Nope.
Go make a hamburger.
Mackie Mack. I don't know. That's tough.
That's a new movie coming out I want to see. I can't remember. He's like wearing
He's got weird makeup.
Yeah, he's got really weird makeup, like a weird nose.
If you like go back to that game, that's the reason you can't leave these things early. You know, I've told it for my whole life. I never wanted to leave games early. My dad was like, leave games early. No, we're never leaving games early. Then we get an extra inning home run one time when I was a kid. I go, this is why we don't leave games early. But I feel like we see it more now in sports, and especially in these bigger moments. Teams aren't laying down and going away if they're getting beat early. They're finding ways to come back.
And if you're a Knicks fan and you're down in the fourth quarter, you better not leave early because you have Jalen Brunson, and he's done something so right. It's been so long since we've seen the wrong here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Tune in to hear Royals insider Josh Vernier every Monday at 8:20.
Professor Vernier sitting up here, bloviating.
On your home for Royals baseball, 96.5, The Fan.